Welcome to the RAND CRE Show. Commercial real estate with no stone left unturned.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the RAND CRE Show. I'm your host, Mike Taravella. And today, I am super excited to have our guest, Ryan Gibson. He's the Chief Investing Officer of the Spartan Investment Group. And Ryan and his team, Ryan has been in charge of $30 million in private equity projects for Spartan. Welcome to the show, Ryan. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Yeah. You know, we were talking on the pod before the podcast, just getting to know each other a little bit more. And just Ryan, would love to kind of hear more about what Spartan's core, like what does Spartan do? How do they, like the three unique selling propositions that we talked about before? Because I think it's just super important to kind of understand what Spartan does.
Yeah, I think what's unique is that we can build stuff from the ground up. We can also buy existing assets.
What assets, for those who don't know, like what assets are you primarily focused in on?
Yeah, self-storage is our primary focus. So if you look at our portfolio, you'll see a couple of RV parks and you'll see a brand new mobile home park. And I know those don't typically exist, but we actually have a brand new mobile home park. We're building 217 lots. And not only are we building a new mobile home park right now, but it's in one of the most beautiful parts of Washington State, out in the Olympic Peninsula, 30 minutes from Olympic National Park. So it's a very REIT-worthy asset. It has utilities, city utilities, mountain views, high rents, high cost of manufactured homes. So, but our primary thesis is to invest in self-storage. And we have just over 1 million square feet of self-storage, about 20 facilities spread across five states. And we're currently buying portfolios of storage. So we have a portfolio of 9 storages that we're bringing on this quarter. We also have another portfolio of 3 storages. And we're going to be, I believe, in about 10 states pretty soon, spread across the different assets, and just shy of 40 storages by the end of the year. So we're rapidly growing. We were the Inc. 500 fastest growing companies in 2020. So we were.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah.
Growth is not easy, especially I think in real estate, it gets simplified of, well, you're just buying more units. And I think with your group, it's a lot harder, especially from 5 to 10 states. It's not like you can just drive down the block and get another, you know, reviewing them. So I think that commends to your growth and growing responsibly.
Yeah. You know, our growth is in people. So we're actually growing our staff to handle the workload. So, you know, we were talking earlier about, we do the construction, the property and asset management. We also do all the acquisitions and capital raising all within Spartan. So we take on retail investors and we do the whole value chain. So like we're GCing a project, like we dispatch a W-2 employee from Spartan to oversight the construction of our facilities. So, you know, our growth has been focused on making sure we have the resources to handle the projects that we have coming in. And, you know, we do a strategic plan every 3 years. Our strategic plan is actually on our website. And you can download our strategic plan and see how we've mapped out 3 years. What's great is we're actually completing our strategic plan a year early. It's supposed to end in 2022. We'll have everything completed by the end of 2021 and actually exceed it a little bit. And the reason why is because when we started our strategic plan a couple of years ago, because we do one every 3 years, we didn't factor in what would happen when you added 40 people to your company. A lot more gets done. So
that's always a good thing, right? Of just,
yeah.
The band, yeah. I think when you're doing those planning, you're like, man, what can we do in 3 years? And like you said, when you get 40 new people, you're like, oh, wow, it can go one of two ways. It can get a lot easier, or a lot harder. And I think that commends on the systems that Spartan Investment Group has brought on and succeeded in.
Yeah. And the thing that I always like to talk about too is, you know, when people are like, hey, you're raising your own capital for projects, are you ever going to not take investor capital and just use the money that you make from projects to do your own deals? And the answer to that is always absolutely not. We're always going to be a capital raising company because of what you can do when you reinvest your profits from deals into your company and your people. Now you can do 10 times, 20 times what you've done previously, where if you're just doing your own deals, you're going to only just be able to do your own deals. And I think that is why syndication is such a great tool to build your business and to have more assets come into your company and really kind of be able to handle more projects without losing your head, right? Because I mean, we, you know, there'd be no way I could do what we do without our team. And, you know, and it's amazing if, you know, our focus really over the last 18 months or 2 years, 3 years, you know, we've been in business since 2014, has been, you know, the people we hire, we spend so much time hiring the right person. And that really has built a tremendous team, especially the first people you hire are so critical to the overall culture and success. And what's different is, you know, we still have an emphasis on face-to-face. So we still have physical, we always had a physical office, you know, once we got the appropriate staffing. And we require employees to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We do a midweek in person, and then we allow people to work remotely on Mondays and Fridays. And when you're a company growing as fast as we are, if you don't have that face-to-face, you could still grow. There's nothing wrong with that, but it really has helped us grow well, is having the face-to-face interaction. So,
no, I think that's great, because I think testing those norms of investing in the people, I think having that three-year vision, right, of we're going this way. And I think I always resort back to like Traction or the other books of like, if you're not going in this direction, the outliers for better or for worse stick out of like, oh, they're bought into this vision or they're not. But also too, you mentioned the investing and allowing the flexibility of not necessarily being super rigid of, oh, hey, you need to be here 5 days a week, 9 to 5. Like in real estate, we all know that, hey, you might get a call late Friday, you're touring a property Saturday, and you're submitting an offer on Sunday. So like there's so many different dynamics with real estate, but I think it's awesome that you allow your team the flexibility, you're investing in your team members and, you know, keeping that in person. I know that's the toughest part, especially with 2020, what it was, the world was supposed to end, but I think just having that awareness piece to do all of those things, investing in your people is a huge dynamic piece that allows you to grow as quickly as you guys have done.
Yeah, I think another thing that really helps sync a team, if you are remote or in person, we do a weekly sync call on Wednesdays at 2 Pacific time. And it's our entire company to get on a call. And we have an agenda of what we go through. And everybody just kind of says, you know, like for example, investor relations reports on how many engagements we had last week, how many intakes that we've had, upcoming key engagements, and podcasts that we've been on, et cetera. Kind of let the company know like what IR is up to, you know, upcoming raises that we have going on. You know, the construction team does an around the room and how like a high level and how all the projects are going. And any discussion that gets sort of, oh yeah, oh, that's right. You know, hey, let's take that offline and meet later. That kind of stuff happens, and it really gets our team coordinated. So everybody knows the mission, vision, values. And that's another thing. We actually review the mission, vision, values at the beginning of every sync call every week. And we ask our employees, how have we met the mission this week? And we ask for specific examples of our values and how they've been implemented. And then what we've done as an organization to achieve the mission, which is to improve lives through real estate.
That's awesome. Yeah, we do a weekly huddle every week and we read out the core values and our purpose and our company. Like, because with RAND, we have our property management division, we have our investing and our education platform. So it's cool to just, we might not be as together on the day-to-day, but we're still meeting up and kind of have a quick view of how things are going. But I think that's great because how you guys are doing it, you're seeing that you're constantly evaluating yourself to see, are we hitting the mission? Are we abiding by our core values? Because I think with a lot of startups, people think the core values and the vision is like too pie in the sky. But I think that's the only thing that you see grow consistently. And even myself, if I'm not writing down my goals,
right,
it's the word. It's just like, I'm kind of walking. I don't feel like any progress. And even like my first real estate deal is like, I'm going to do a $5 million deal. And then 4 months later, I joined RAND and we did a $10 million one. So it's just like, once you write it down, it becomes real. And then just like taking that course of action every single day to get there. And that's just the coolest part. And like you said, you've grown over 40 people and got there a year earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool because now the other part too is we got a business coach, and a business coach helps you kind of put the framework or the operating system into your business. And having a business coach, you know, try to help you kind of boil up the most important things and then hold you accountable to those things through regular check-ins, I think has been pretty valuable too. So we're really looking forward to our next quarterly offsite session. We do quarterly offsite with our executive team is in June, and we're going to plan on what the next version of the strategic plan is going to look like since we're buttoning it up a year early. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I think, because you think when you do those planning sessions, if you do them in the office, but I found it nice. You do your best thinking when you're away and just looking at the future and just kind of like reassessing. So it's just always interesting to see. So we've done Petra, and that's been a huge work with our business. And, you know, if you're developing working on the business versus in it, it allows you to grow 10x or 100x, because then you're having the people in the business like pointing that vision. They have more buy-in. They can mold. Like for our accounting team, we've gotten, we're looking to add one more team member. But because we've talked to our one accountant, it's having that bigger mindset of what's going on versus kind of just pay the bills, do these things. And it's like, no, we're trying to do much bigger stuff in the future.
You know, that's interesting that, you know, you kind of made me think of something where, you know, when you're thinking about working on the business, you won't have a deal problem or an investor problem or a operations problem. When you're working on the business, you'll be able to solve all those problems by working on the business rather than working in the business. So for the longest time, when we were a small team and didn't have much of a business, we had a deal flow problem. You know, then we had an ops problem and this and that. So now, really now that we're, you know, we have a staff of 5 acquisitions associates that work full-time deal finding, and we have a structure around that. We have a compensation structure around that. Our deal flow has been great. And, and it's not because we're buying more expensive assets or willing to pay more, being more competitive. It's just we're in front of more people. And because we have the system to play in that, and we've used the proceeds from investments and fees to fund the staff that we have at Spartan. So, you know, talk about delayed gratification, you know, delayed salaries, delayed payoffs, you know, to get the team and the support and the infrastructure so that you can really create something that's capable of doing a lot of output.
Yeah. I was just going to say, that's like the biggest, I think when you're such a small team, you have to do everything. So it's just running around, putting out fires left and right. But now that you have the infrastructure and the process, I always think of like my favorite books that I've read is like Ray Dalio's Principles, and just him is like, if you're not getting the result, you have to look down at the machine. And if I think when every new business starts off is the founder is doing everything. And then there's not that pass down because of, it could be trust. It could be, you know, not right. There's so many different aspects, but as you delegate that down, you're investing in that person to execute that job, that task, that progress or project. So then it's that true delegation of it. And so I think it's whatever hurdle you as the entrepreneur might have, but as you grow and scale, it's just, you realize you're investing in people. And that's like the coolest part of, who would have thought since 2014 that you have 5 acquisitions people investing in 10 states and are raising money and developing? Like, I don't think, you know, from 2014 to now, I'm sure that strategic plan looks a lot different, but
it does. And yeah, it's amazing. Like, you know, I know there's like the BHAG from Principles, you know, the big, hairy, audacious goal, you know, and you kind of do your moonshot, right? And the strategic plan kind of feels like that sometimes, where we're like, we're going to raise, you know, 100 million this year. And it's like, okay. And then, you know, we're going to have this many deals, and, you know, you're kind of like,
I have 10 employees. Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah. You know, it's like, I mean, we're raising $80 million in Q2 of this year.
That's a good number.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, wow, you know, it's cool, you know? And when these things start happening, it's pretty rewarding, pretty exciting. And the thing I was going to add on to that is, you know, over the last year, I've been focused on replacing myself in every aspect of the business. And my quarterly rock, you know, it sounds like you're subscribing to the traction model. A rock, you know, being, for those who haven't listened to the book, it's, you know, you have a bucket, you can only put so much stuff in your bucket, you know, and you got the sand and the little pebbles and the stones that fill up all the gaps, but you have your big rock that goes in there first, and that's the thing that you want to get done. So my quarterly rock last quarter was to completely SOP everything, like everything. Like when investor money gets received, there's an 8-step process for what happens. And it's not because it's overcomplicated. It's just because, you know, you got to put them up in the communication. You got to put them in the cap table. You got to put them in the QuickBooks. You got to put them in here. You got to put them there. So, and, you know, just doing that so I don't have to be looking over anybody's shoulder, you know. What's also cool is we did a Udemy training course. So we filmed about 2 hours of content, professionally high quality. So we, you know, we're onboarding a new employee about once a week on average. So, you know, they can sit and watch a, you know, guided with a real person, but an overview of our company in a very professional way really sets the tone so you can scale the training of employees or augment some of the things that you already do. So that's been, you know, something that we rolled out that's been really effective. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I always laugh because my colleagues will always go, Mike is good at finding out how to do things once and then try to figure out how to never do them again.
I'm jealous of you because I have a problem of not letting go. And I've really tried to force myself. I'm like, all right, you got a team, like give it to the team. There's 3 people that work in IR now. You've got to delegate what you're doing, because if you're just continuing to do it, you know, you cannot, like, I have to think, my biggest challenge is I always have to stay strategic. You know, I love, you know, I'm the problem. One of my faults is I have a lot of skills. You know, I can make a video, I can do content, I can film it, I can record it. I know what to do with how to build an offering memorandum, how to build loan docs and offering docs. Right. So I you know, but it's like, no, that's not what you're, you know, you need to be strategic so that your employees are going to get well paid, well recruit, you know, recruit good people. And, you know, we're focusing on truly the highest and best value. It's funny, like talking to investors is a lot of people's highest and best value. And in our case, it's not for me. It was for a while, but it's not anymore, because there's, you know, when you have a business that's going to have 100 employees by the end of this year, your highest and best value is not talking to all your investors. It's not. I mean, it's still part of what I do, a big part of what I do, but I encourage people to think about finding people who can do that just as well or better in some cases than you are. So
I just want to add a side note, dear investors, you are very important to both Ryan and ours business. We just want to caveat that very much so.
Okay. Yeah. Not only that, they are the most important part of the business, but even more important is for my investors to know that the reason why maybe I might not be talking to somebody is because, or delegating that is because I am trying to make sure that the ball is moving forward on more important things that impact their investments. So, exactly. Yeah, very important stuff.
No, I think when even thinking about the real estate aspect, it's what is your highest and best use of time? And I think people try to overcomplicate it of doing like the lives and stuff like that. You know, one-on-one investor calls are important because you need to know who your investor base is, because not every investor may have the same goals as you, and that's okay. But as you grow and scale, and like you said, you have 40 employees, it's, well, now with Ryan, how does Ryan talk to everyone, a large group of people? Because instead of having that one-on-one, you could be out making content, like you said, being strategic of how do we reduce this pain point, and you're looking at your machine full time. So it's always an interesting piece when you look at it, especially with the world of virtual assistants and stuff like that. And plus you have a team of already 40 plus people and trying to get to 100, doubling that and just maintaining culture is hard enough. So it's cool to see how quickly you're growing and your team is growing, and especially with $80 million in a quarter. Look forward to checking in next quarter to see if it hit the 100 million mark.
Yeah, let's do a follow up. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we'll do the post strategic plan. We're like, we did it in 6 months. We're on to the next one. We're just going through. But I'd love to hear kind of more, you know, with, it's great talking the strategic, but I think what is Spartan's investing thesis moving forward, especially because in the world that we're in and self-storage, we don't have that many people talk about it. We'd love to kind of hear what is your guys' investing thesis.
Yeah. So first of all, I think the number one question, because there'll probably a lot of multifamily listeners, is, okay, in multifamily, you buy a 300 unit building, you take 100 units offline, you have below market rents, You renovate those units, you put them back online for market or above, and that's how you move the NOI. And then, you know, you move the rent on all the units over time, you get the cap rate, divide by the cap rate, boom, there's your valuation, there's your cash flow along the way, right? That's kind of how multifamily works. Just an aside real quick, storage, very similar, mostly mom and pop owners, no online sales, no call centers, no SEO, no marketing, no sophisticated operating plan, and they don't have deep pockets like we do. So they can't reposition their asset to be a competitor, maybe a C class to a B class or whatever. So we buy the under market value asset. We completely streamline the operations. We get the capital stack real nice, and we can produce cash flow and add a lot of value. We also build additional units. So we'll, the facility right behind me on my wall here, 9 buildings. We just added 2 buildings to it, 2 acres. So we added 240 units, or about $300,000 a year in NOI.
I say 200 plus unit add-on is always a nice little value piece. Like, oh, by the way, we're going to do all these things plus add more.
Yeah, we're cash on cash. We do our distributions monthly. Cash on cash is about 10%. For a while, it's 12%. While we were going through the construction, and then now that we have the new units online, and as they start to lease up, it's gravy on top. So we can derive a lot of value from adding on additional units. Our underwriting is to sell to a mom and pop owner. So it's, or to another group like ours, or another guy who's doing a 1031 exchange and they just want to place capital into something that's stabilized. So we take the unstable asset, get the cash flow up, sell it to a one-on-one. That's how we underwrite. But the reality is the industry wants to place institutional REIT worthy, REIT companies want to place hundreds of millions, sometimes billions, into self-storage assets. And they don't want to buy your $5 million facility south of Dallas or in a tertiary market. They want to buy, they want to buy a portfolio of, 50,000 plus square foot assets comprising of a 250, maybe even a $500 million portfolio. They want to write one check and buy them all. So if you look at Simply Self Storage in Q4 of 2020, the Blackstone came in, picked up Simply Self Storage for $1.2 billion. If you look at the recent acquisition on Q1 of 2021, Public Storage, they bought the Easy Storage brand in Virginia, Maryland, and New York for $1.7 billion. And so the industry is rapidly consolidating through the big grab of a lot of assets. So what we've done, we haven't changed our underwriting. Our underwriting is still to just do single asset sales to one-on-one. But what we've considered is that when you sell a $500 million portfolio to a bigger fund, you're going to get cap rate compression, and you're going to get 100 to 150 basis point cap rate compression. It's considerable. So instead of selling a $5 million asset to a one-on-one, you might be getting $6.5-7 million for that same asset if it's rolled up into a bigger portfolio. So our strategy pivoted late last year. We rolled out our national brand Free Up Storage, and all of our facilities are being rebranded in 2021, and all of our future acquisitions are going to 2021 are going to be in the Free Up brand. And what we've done is we've rolled out a whole brand standards policy book, capital improvements, brand standards, what the offices look like, how the desks are laid out, all the call centers are. So you walk into a Free Up Storage facility and you have an expectation of what the hours are, the gate access, what we offer, stationary, everything is the same. So if somebody wanted to come in and buy our $500 million portfolio, they could write a check and they know what they're getting. So we've really put a lot of emphasis on Free Up as a brand that flags our self-storage business. No different than how like a StoreQuest started, or any of the other nationally traded, REITs that are in the space. So we're in buy mode right now. We are acquiring 24 facilities in 2021, and we're about halfway through our goal. It's May, so we're about almost at the halfway mark, and we've picked up about 14 or 12 assets so far this year. And, we don't see ourselves slowing down, and we're also building. We have about 3,000 units that we're building right now. Spread across Texas, Colorado, and Washington. Arkansas, and Georgia. And pretty soon we're going to be building storage and some even industrial in Florida. And then we have one property in Tennessee. So we're growing the brand. And we're also expanding into Madison, Wisconsin this quarter. So we're growing the brand and quality of assets that we have within that portfolio. And we're starting to kind of look at less smaller facilities. And we're starting to focus on the facilities like we're buying, and we're buying a portfolio of three facilities in Madison this quarter, you know, 120,000 square feet and class A property, you know, and that's kind of the, you know, when you look through somebody's portfolio, you know, you kind of see the duds and you kind of got to deal with those. But, you know, then you've got the, you know,
you mean they're not all perfect on the portfolio buys.
Yeah. So it's funny. We're buying a 9 property portfolio right now. And I mean, there's some gems in there, but there's some, you know, there's some properties that they're good. They IRR standalone very well, but you know, you look at them and you're kind of like, man, I wish I didn't have to buy that one, but we can work with it. You know, we can work with it. We can make it a contributor and a fighter in the portfolio, and who knows, maybe it'll perform a little better than we think. But yeah, you're picking up some assets that may not be that great. One property, we can add 100,000 square feet of storage to it, and we can double the industrial space. And what's great is Spartan is we're a GC. So we're building, we're already laying out a site plan to build industrial flex space onto the site. And, you know, we can build everything from a mobile home park to a multi-story class A, you know, climate controlled storage facility in an urban downtown area. We can do it all. So I think that's what I love about our team is, you know, there is no question about our property management skills in any market. We're all over the place. We do our own property management. You're probably very familiar with that model. So we're not scared of that, or we're not scared of building. So I think that's kind of what's fun about it.
Yeah. I love how when discussing the thesis, you started with the end in mind. And I think a lot of investors, like, well, they're starting off as just get a deal and then figure out this. It's the end in mind of who you want to sell to, because that, I think, to, you know, it's not saying poo-poo to the smaller deals. I think it's just when you first started in 2014, it was, hey, let's get a deal, then we can figure it out and learn as we grow. But now that the underwriting hasn't changed in the sense of who we're selling to, but the vision has changed of let's go more institutional. And then that has changed in the sense of how do we sell to an institution? So it's not buying the 20, you know, the smaller stuff. It's just, this does not fit our box. And as you scale a company, it's not like we all start from somewhere. So it's just, it's cool to see starting with the end in mind. And I think, like you said, because your team is so dynamic and has the bandwidth and the know of how to develop and how to do this. And one resource I would recommend, just because you're growing so quickly, so working with Dan Gilbert, he has an onboarding every Monday for new employees, because he has, I think it was like 26 companies, and they call it the family of companies. And he has like a isms book. So of all of their team's core values and the stories behind it. So I think it's just like growing that vision, and I can talk to you offline, but it was just cool to see kind of every Monday, everyone knows it's the new people. So when they're doing the office tours and discussing people, it's just kind of like, no, we're growing quick, and we're abiding by the culture. It's just cool to see. So I'll talk to you.
Yeah, that's, you know, probably one of my fondest memories of this year so far is we actually had a Monday class of 4 new employees. That's and awesome. Like four new Spartans starting on the same day. And so we did our, you know, kind of our introductory videos on an orientation course. And, you know, we had it led by, you know, one of the executive team members, but it was cool. It was like, wow, this is really efficient. We're training 4 new employees, you know, in the same week, in the same footprint. And everybody's, you know, there's some bonding and camaraderie that goes on with that. And a lot of efficiency. So, you know, it's definitely something that is exciting. I'll check it out on the isms. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just that camaraderie too. We started together, and you're not like, are you new? How long have you been here? Yeah. Like, it's just like we're this class and running through it. And you never know who you just connect with and resonate. And you could be in different departments, but you're like, hey, let's figure this out together. So
we also do mentorship Mondays. I think once a month we just have. Awesome. Yeah, it's like open time with the executive team. Because a lot of people that come work for us hear about us like on Bigger Pockets, or they are very passionate about real estate investing and they really just want to get into a company and grow. We have a lot of people that, you know, we've sent people back to college to learn about construction project management. Garrett, I think, is a great example that Garrett's our CPM. He was working for IBM. He heard us on Bigger Pockets. He came, he applied. We hired him on the spot, and he's building 100 units right now in the mountains of Colorado. And he got to blow up dynamite to bust up some of the granite and rock. And he's building, you know, thousands of units across the country. He's building our mobile home park. He's, you know, had a hand in our 750 unit new build in Seattle, just south of Seattle. He's doing our Texas projects. I mean, he is getting consumed in real estate development. And it's cool because, you know, I think one other thing I'm really passionate about is it's a great place for a bunch of entrepreneurs to come and work as entrepreneurs with the scaffolding place to just learn a ton. And, you know, we're doing everything from private lending, and we have private investors that lend, you know, to keep our capital stack flexible and our projects moving, and private equity. And we're so transparent that people can learn just so much about the real estate world working in our space. So it makes it really fun.
Yeah. And I think that's, the entrepreneur piece, because when you start off in real estate, there's a lot of groups that are smaller and you get to do a lot of different things. And I think Naval Ravikant, his big advice for people who are looking to start is join a small group, because you do so many different things that you find your niche. Like I started in public accounting, seeing all different aspects, but then I worked with startups and I was like, okay, this is great, building this skill set. And then I realized, I was like, I actually want to do real estate. So just taking those skill sets, because every accountant, they're like, it's a great skill set. And then when you're trying to get the next piece, it's like, well, how do I get out of accounting? So that's that entrepreneur piece is such an underrated skill. So you don't have to be the CEO or the founder. Like you could be a number two, a number three, a number 10, and get very well compensated in building that group. So don't.
We offer employee ownership. So, you know, you could be building something that you own. So it's, it's pretty cool. And we also do discounted investing shares into projects and, you know, a bunch of different benefits that, you know, we want alignment, you know, we want you to care about the project just as much as we do. So, it's something that we really promote.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So Ryan, I appreciate coming on and providing a ton of value. I think I might know the investor pro tip, but what is your one investor pro tip when it comes to our listeners, when it comes to investing?
As a passive investor, I would not swing at the first pitch. And I would, you know, if you get a deal that comes in front of you, I wouldn't make a decision to do a deal based on the deal that's in front of you. I'd make a decision to do a deal based on the team that backs that investment. I've invested in over 10 private placements, and I will tell you the best ones have the best teams and the worst ones have the worst teams. And some of the deals that most of the deals project the same returns. I would not look at returns or splits, just my preference. I would look at the capabilities of the person behind the deal and go on a fact-finding mission to make sure whatever they tell you is true, and learn as much about the operator as possible before actually doing a deal.
Yeah, it's a discounted like probability of will this deal be successful, and just like you said, they're all going to be the same. But how probable is this team going to execute? And like you said, there are a lot of similar returns out there. But I think it's a good piece of advice. Even like on the active side, how many times like that first at bat calling in a broker, they're like, you got to offer this by like Friday, and it's Thursday, and you're looking at it, and then they're just like, all right, usually the first deal is the worst one. So you just say no more often.
Yeah. So we look at about 1200 deals a year.
That's a good number.
Yeah. So, and not just look, I mean, like we pull out the underwriting, we do some analysis.
Yeah.
And, we close about last year we closed 9 new projects. So, to saying no. We always look to try to kill a deal more than we do to try to do a deal. And it's amazing. Your deal flow will show up when you kind of refine your investment thesis. You'll have a very clear vision about, yep, that makes sense. No, that doesn't make sense. And so the deal vetting process just goes that much faster. So
yeah, especially because you're not at a point where I need to do a deal or it's my first deal. It's like, no, we've done enough of these where we know it's the mental model of seeing this deal. Hey, when we do deals like this, that's when it goes wrong or not as well as we thought, or if we go in this. So you've seen enough deals where you're like kind of have your buckets of like the problem childs and the good kids. So it's good to see.
The first 2 years of self-storage investing was the most frustrating time ever, because we didn't find anything we wanted to do. We were self-storage investors, but we hadn't bought anything yet. And we were so not desperate to do a deal, but we were desperate to find the right deal. And, but now that it's like, you do a first few, now I could care less. I mean, if we do or don't do a deal, I don't really care. We've got enough pipeline. We've got enough stuff in our portfolio. We're hungry, but we're not hungry to do something bad. So
yeah, no, that's 2020, I felt like it was like a white knuckling year of just like, come on, let's get a deal. And like calling owners, calling brokers, underwriting stuff was like off a couple times, but I wrote like deals will come easy to me. And sure enough, we've already done a couple deals this year. And it's just like, oh, wow. Like it's when you're like, keep it open, but not like for like pressing, good stuff happens. So your time will come and good stuff will happen. But Ryan, thank you so much for being on the podcast. If the listener had any questions about anything we've talked about, self-storage, developing it, anything, how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, you could hit us up on our website, spartan-investors.com, or you can email me at Ryan, R-Y-A-N, at spartan-investors.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. If you want to just Google Ryan Gibson, Spartan Investment Group, I'm on LinkedIn as well. So
perfect. Well, thank you so much, Ryan, for being on the podcast. I'm definitely going to follow up to see how the strategic plan works and see if you're at hit 100 million next quarter. So if you have any questions for myself or about us, info@rancre.com. And until then, we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Mike.